the last time. And today, I guess I was just thinking there's a verse in Scripture where Paul talks about when he went to the Corinthians the first time, and he says that he came to them in fear and trembling. And honestly, that's how I feel today standing up here. And part of that is because God's asking me to take off the mask I always wear. He has been for a while. And to be honest, it might not seem like a big deal to everybody else, but when we take off the mask we've always worn, it feels really vulnerable. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. But I just want to start with a story that just kind of portrays this. So last night we had a family get-together. And it's not with extended family, it's my close family. People I grew up with my whole life. And so I show up, but I'm 45 minutes late, and my wife and youngest one aren't even with me because it's been a rough day. And so they're at home, and I have the other two with me, and we show up, and, you know, hey, how's it going? How you doing? And first thing out of my mouth, good, good, doing great. You know, and then I ask, how are you doing? Well, good, good, you know, and you just kind of have this exchange. I do this all the time. Well, then afterwards, it was just like this piercing thought hits me that it's like, that's a complete lie. You're not okay. You're not doing okay. Your life is unraveling all day long, and you tell them you're doing good. And so I just was like, actually, it's been a really rough day. And just was a little honest. And it's like, you know, I didn't get into all the details, but it was just, all right, let's just, you know, why? These are people that love me. They're right here with me. And so, but that's a picture that God's been speaking to me about for quite a while. And to be honest, I have no idea how to actually take the mask off. Honestly, right now, I just want to put this thing right back on and talk to you about something exciting, or, you know, talk about how great this has been or what's going on that God's doing. And those are good things. But that's not the journey that we all are on sometimes. And so today, part of this is, for me, I'm going to share a little more. The Lord told me to just share my story, to not try to do all sorts of teaching. And that's really hard because, you know, it's really easy to teach because that's kind of hiding. I can put on the mask and teach about all these things. And to be vulnerable is to just stick to what's been going on in here? How am I doing? And, you know, what's God been teaching me? And so, let's see, where do I even begin with this? Let's just talk about what happens when I wear a mask. You see, most of my life, I kind of do things on my own. It's real easy to, I find for me, I have a way to just kind of live my life that I got people around me, but I'm not really locked arms with these people. I'm kind of, they're there because I feel like, good, I got the support, but I'm not really locked arms with these people. I kind of have the way I do certain things, and I just keep doing it, you know, that way. And I wonder oftentimes, I struggle deeply with, man, am I really like, I just don't feel loved all the time. You know, I just feel overlooked and I don't feel connected. You know, maybe that might be one of my biggest ones is I long for deep connection. And yet I find I don't experience deep connection anywhere in my life. There's this huge void. And I've wrestled with God. I've been mad at God about it in seasons where it's like, God, why are you holding out on me? And he walks me through that. But you know, it's like, what he's been showing me is if I keep wearing this, one of the masks I wear often is performance. Perform. If I do really well, and you know, and maybe God's even told me, he's like, take off the spiritual mask, Brad. I'm really good. I know so much of this, and I can put that on as a mask and portray to everybody else that I got it together because I know all the right stuff. It's religion. God's telling me to take that off. Take it off. It doesn't mean that this is irrelevant, but if I wear it as protection, you know what happens is when people love me for performance, they're loving my mask that I wear. It never touches my heart. Never reaches deep into what that place is. When people connect with me in relationship and it's based out of what I'm doing and performing, that relationship and connection is based on my mask. And when I do really good with the mask, I feel pretty good. But, you know, when I turn around and the mask isn't going so hot, because if I actually took this off, you'd probably see, and I start to see in my own heart, tears start to well up. If I pull the mask off, there's a lot of sorrow. There's a lot of sadness. There's actually a lot of things I don't even know what I'm feeling. You know? And I long for somebody to be able to relate with that with you. But God's been showing me, as long as you keep wearing your mask, you'll never experience it. We all wear masks. Why did we put them on in the first place? Because we were hurt. Because we wanted to be accepted. We wanted to be liked. We learned this really early on. I also find, too, another thing with taking the mask off, God might get through to you like, you need to take it off. Okay. You know, it's like you start to pull the mask off a little bit, and you realize that everybody around you is kind of like, hey, get that thing back on. Don't take that off. I don't like you without that on. That is uncomfortable to me. You're not okay. It's like, yeah, but I'm not okay. But I got to be okay. Put that back on. I have to have it all together, because if I lose it, then everybody else around, I got to be strong for everybody else. I can't be weak. You know, that thing, it keeps that mask glued on our face. You know, there's, and I wish I could just tell you, this is just how you take it off, but I don't really have that answer. I just find that in my life, I'll just be honest, it feels like everything in my life is unraveling, and that it has been for maybe a year, that I've been very aware of it. Maybe because God's been not allowing me to wear that as much, and you start to see how things really are, and I have no idea how to fix it. Because the way to fix it is just to put the mask back on and try harder. Do this more. Pray more. I just need to pray more spiritual warfare prayers. The enemy is doing this. You know, I don't know how involved the enemy even is. I think he's just sitting back watching. He's like, you're doing it to yourself. Because of things I believe and the way that I've lived. And you know, it's not just me. We live in a country that prides itself in performance. It prides itself in having it all together and not showing any weakness. There's other cultures that don't do this. They have their own issues. But here, we're really good at wearing masks, and you're told all the time, don't take that thing off. And actually, if you do, you will feel the lashback from the people closest to you, because they don't know how to handle it when you don't wear it. Because they only know you from your mask. And we only know ourselves from our mask. So we take it off, and all of a sudden you start crying about things. You don't even know why you're crying. And you're just a mess. And it's just kind of like, man, this is ridiculous. I need to do this or that. I need to get back to this. A lot of people, we just keep taking medication. That's the way I used to deal with it, was drugs, meds, all that stuff. And I praise the Lord that through my journey, he has really strengthened my spirit man. It's the core of who I am. It's actually the part of me. It's the part of you that is seated with Jesus in the heavenlies. It's already there with him. It is able to comprehend and understand the truth. It's able to see that I don't have to have it all figured out. I can trust God even when everything else is falling apart. But oftentimes our spirits are so undernourished and weak that part of us never really has any place to help us stand. And I would wind up in Pine Rest. I'd wind up on drugs. You know, all these other things. I didn't have any stability. So I praise the Lord for the spiritual disciplines he's taught me, for the relationship I've been able to build with him, and the way that he has blessed and poured into my spirit. Because it's brought me to a place now that when he starts to ask me to take this off, I'm not running to all the things I used to. I just find you're just kind of flailing around a little bit on the ground of like, I don't know what to do. And all you have is him to hold on to. And you know, the hardest part is that's a hard place to be because you want God to come through now. I'm doing it, Lord, and where are you? And you know what? There's no answer. You're still in the hard spot. Sometimes you feel like 10 more hard things just swept over you in the last week. It's like a tsunami of challenges that come. It's like it's never going to end. It feels hopeless. And you know, something God's been teaching me is to take off the mask and let your heart have a voice. I have learned to take scripture and shut my heart down with it. Because I don't know how to handle the fact that there's different parts of me that God's created and that respond differently. I have a mind, and when it gets renewed with the truth, it produces great freedom in my life. It's amazing what happens when you start to believe the truth, the freedom you have. But that doesn't mean that I'll never experience hardship and sorrow and grief again. It doesn't mean that the rest of my life is going to be pain-free. It just means that I have freedom because of the way I think about things. Because I think starting to think the way God thinks. There's an area of my life that I think I've always hoped God, see, I think I've always thought that if I just do all the right things, deal with all the spiritual root issues in my life, if I deal with all the pain in my life, if I deal with all these things and do all these right things, connect with God, walk closely with him, serve other people, you know, do what God's called me to do, that somehow he'd just take care of the things in my heart that I don't really know how to handle. Guess what? He hasn't. He's not going to let me get around not dealing with the things in my heart. I want to read a verse to you guys. It's Isaiah 61, and I'm going to start right at the beginning here. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. That was Jesus' mission statement. That's Jesus fulfilled that prophecy. That was him, okay? So then it's like, well, Lord, why haven't I experienced all this, right? Why is my heart still broken sometimes? Why is it always so hard to connect with people? Why don't I always experience your love? You tell me here, this is what you came to do. You're still doing it today. What holds it back? Well, let's keep reading a minute. It says that He came to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn or grieve in Zion. I think all of us have claimed that promise that he's going to give us beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. I know I have. Lord, thank you. You're going to do this in my life. Well, the Lord brought me back to this verse, and he reminded me that that is what he wants to do. But he wanted me to read it again. And he says, comfort to all who mourn. I have a part. If I don't mourn, there's no comfort. If I don't grieve, there's no, it is, I have a part to play. And then it's, I just reminded of Jesus has like six statements in his first sermon that we call the Beatitudes. You know, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. It doesn't say, you all are going to be comforted, period. It says, those of you sitting out here who will mourn will be comforted. Then the expectation would be, if I choose not to mourn, I'm not going to experience that comfort that I'm so longing to be comforted with from the Lord. And the Lord has continually reminded me that much of the comfort he chooses to give me is through the body of believers. It's through other people. And I think I just want God to just do it directly because that doesn't feel so vulnerable. You can fix me so I can go back and have it all together for everybody else. That's just rebuilding my mask. God's not going to do it. So in my life, I have just learned that I have no idea how to actually grieve and mourn. I've never really seen anybody do it. I've never actually been around people that actually did it. And it's never been taught to me. I have no idea how to do that. It was very important in Scripture. If we go to the center of our Bible, we'll find Psalms. It's kind of at the heart, right? The center. I heard somebody that was teaching on lamenting say that more of the Psalms are lamenting Psalms than any other. How did I miss that? Ultimately, the Psalms are all the expression of the heart relationship with God. And if you read them, you'll find that most of them are not necessarily that nicely laid out and encouraging. A lot of them end on, God, you've abandoned us. You've left us. Why have you destroyed us? The end. It's kind of like, you know, I have this view that it's like, oh, I could never do that because that wouldn't be okay. I can't just express how I really feel to the Lord because, you know, it's like God never did anything wrong. You know, and the reality is, he hasn't. But then why did he give us examples of people that had to express something that may not line up with truth ultimately, but they had to say it because for them, that was where their heart was at. You see, our heart was created by God to experience life with him. No sin involved. Perfect fellowship. That is not our reality today. And our hearts do not care about what the truth has to say when we know there's been an injustice or something's been wrong. And I can take the truth of heart. You just need to get in line. You just need to get over this and move on. God's given me a picture of Moses with the Israelites. This isn't necessarily the teaching of all this, but it's just a picture that's helped me in thinking of how do I handle my heart? How do I address my heart? Because I don't know. Moses had these Israelites with him. They probably weren't the greatest people to have trailing along with you. Moses could have made that journey in probably 11 days and gone into the promised land. Right? He's ready to go. He's walking with the Lord. How many years did he spend in that desert? 40 years. Not even, you know, and the Lord even gave him the option, I'll wipe them all out and I'll start over with new people for you. And Moses says, no, these are your people, Lord, that you have, you know, they're your people. You can't do that. And the Lord just gave me a picture that I want to run forward to the promised land. My spirit wants to go there. My mind agrees with the word and wants to go. But what I find is there's a part of me that, I don't want to go right now. And it irritates me so much. And for most of my Christian life, I've tried to wrestle that part of myself into doing it. And it hasn't worked one bit. It doesn't work. And the Lord says, you've got to give your heart a voice. You have to let your heart have a voice. And don't try to correct it. Don't try to tell it what it should believe. Just let your heart say where it's at. And I felt like the Lord's like, I'm big enough to handle your heart. I already know where it's at. Can you be okay with letting yourself see where it's really at? Hard part is, I know if I let myself really see where it's at, I'm going to see how ugly it really is and how much it really doesn't line up with God's word and wants things. It's the Israelites in the desert. Oh, let's just go back to Egypt. Oh, you know, God abandoned us. Let's just worship this calf now. You know, it's just, why would they make such stupid decisions? But if I'm really honest, I know that my heart just will do the same stupid things all the time. It's like my heart longs to be comforted and it will just grasp at anything that's willing to offer it comfort. And I've been trying to force it. I've been trying to force it to just stop doing that and get on board with the program here. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. So God's been teaching me mourning, and I have no idea how to do it. But I will say this, probably maybe 3.5 weeks ago, just in a time with the Lord in the morning, I began to ask my heart, well, heart, all right, where are you? Where are you at? Like, you're obviously not tracking with what I want you to track with. Where are you? And I quickly heard my heart give an answer. That just made me frustrated because it's like, really? You're still holding on to that? You're still holding on to that? This is so stupid. You know, but the Lord just gave me a check. It's just like, why don't you let your heart talk? Quit shutting it down. It's like, okay. You know, and there's a season for everything. My wife shared this with, you know, it's a season for, there's a time to be silent and a time to speak. Maybe it's time for my head to shut up for a minute and just let my heart share and not try to make it sound good and make it fit what I know God would really want. God really already knows what's in my heart, and he knows I can't fix it. So begin to share with the Lord, honestly, and try to really write some stuff down in my journal about what's going on. And honestly, it is a battle because everything in me is like, you know, this is like heresy. You shouldn't even feel this way about stuff. But I feel like the Lord's like, you're actually doing some deep work. This is good. This is good. And the Lord then asked me another question. He says, What is that very thing that your heart doesn't want to let go of? I want you to ask your heart, what does that represent to you? So, you know, so I kind of asked my heart that question. This is just asking, letting my heart be tender enough to hear what it might say. So, heart, what does that represent to you? I had an answer that quick, and it about knocked me over. It represents comfort. That represents comfort and value. And that's why you've never let it go. Well, that made a lot of sense all of a sudden. And it's just like, Jesus, I don't know how to let it go. And he's like, I know you don't. I know you don't. And I started to cry. And not just cry, but weep. And I had no idea what I'm actually crying about because it wasn't connected to anything, but it was just deep sobs and cries that came out. And you know what? After that, for about a week, I experienced love. I felt loved. I believed that God loved me, and I felt such a connection with the people around me. And I felt like the Lord was telling me, he's like, Brad, there's a lot that your heart has never expressed your entire life. You know, mourning is not a one-time thing, and you're done, and you're good for the next 20 years. I feel like the Lord's trying to tell me, he's like, Brad, mourning is a lifestyle. Just like meeting with me in relationship, if you need to continue to mourn, because even if you mourn the things that have been stored up, you're going to continue to walk through life, and by next week, you'll probably have a few more that happened that have pierced your heart. And so, I don't really like that. Just want it to be, you just want to do this and this and this and have that taken care of. And so I was all excited. I thought, you know, this is going to be the breakthrough here. You know, this is going to be it. Well, you know, I haven't had a tear since. and it's like, I just would love to just cry for like a month straight. I think it would be the most healing thing that ever happens to me. But the Lord has his own way of doing it. And so I'll just jump up to, you know, this past Friday. The Lord a couple weeks ago had put it in my heart to just take a day to just be with him and to just spend time with him, you know, get away. And so I was going to do that. Well, then a couple days beforehand, I just felt like maybe I'm supposed to invite a couple of my close friends to go. That's just going to be a hindrance to, you know, that's just going to get in the way of time with God and kind of rationalize it out. And I just, it's like, all right, Lord, if that really is, and he just reminded me, he's like, Brad, you just want to do it on your own. He's like, how's it working? It's like, it's not working. And I was like, okay, maybe I need to invite some people to go with me. So I did, and surprisingly, they're both available on a Friday, and both of them work, but they both had that day off. And so they went with me, and what I found the Lord was showing me through that time, I spent a little time with him by myself, but he told me, he's like, Brad, I have so much healing. I want to heal broken hearts. That's what I came to do. He's like, but I'm going to do it in as much as you're willing to connect and be vulnerable with your friends. As much as you're willing to let people into your life and let them care for you and stop pretending you have it all together. So stop acting like you're strong. I honestly thought, that's such a stupid answer. I don't like that answer. Why can't you just do something right now, God? It's like, but it was the invitation. He's like, if you want to do it my way, it's all available. And very thankful for my friends. You know, one of them's Jacob that went with me. I don't even know where he went. He's back there. He was walking up and down the beach in his time with the Lord. He just had a picture of the three of us just locking arms and standing together. And he's like, I don't know what that means, what God wants to do with that, but I just wanted to share it. And so we're like, well, let's just lock arms and see, you know, we'll just, whatever, we'll pray. And so we locked arms and prayed. And in that moment, it just hit me that it's like, this is what God intended for us. To be able to lock arms with the people he's placed around us that do love us, to let them actually love us, to stop putting on the mask that I can do this or I got it all together. I keep working by myself, partly because it's easier, but partly because I just do things by myself. And I praise God that he's not going to meet me in these deep areas unless I'm willing to do it his way. Because he knows that ultimately I need relationship. I need to willingly trust people around me and let them help me. I got to open up my heart and talk to people close to me about the things that are really weighing on me. And it's like, it doesn't mean I'm going to walk in here and tell everybody all the junk. You know, it's like some people do that. They just spill junk everywhere. And that's not healthy either. But in one sense, they might actually be in a healthier spot than some of us who never talk ever about what's going on in our hearts. So locking arms. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. But I just want to share where this has kind of led to is that it's shown me how if I don't open up and allow other people to love me, allow other people into my life, willingly let them in and actually care, my heart makes idols out of all the good gifts that God gives me very quickly. Very quickly. Because I will take all the gifts that God gives me and I will wear it as a mask, because now that I have this ability, or that I can do this, or pray with this person, or encourage that person, or if God uses me to give a good sermon, or to pray with somebody, you see them healed, it's like, yes, I'm valuable again. Yes, I am somebody again. Now people will like me again. Now I'm worth loving. Did you catch that? If I don't address my heart to where it can just be his and just be with people because I'm made in God's image and I am loved. But as long as my heart just stays locked up, I don't let it really have a voice and let people in and experience God coming in, I'm never going to really have that deposit of that confidence that I'm just his and being his is enough and that I'm loved. And because I'm loved, I will use the gifts God's given me to bless other people. Instead, I will take the gifts God's given me to try to get people to love me. That's a trap. And you'll see it happen all the time. And I think we watch a lot of people do this for many, many years, and they wind up being very miserable. And maybe it's not just the gifts God gives you, but what is it that you will fill your heart? What is it that you find comfort in? You know, where is it that your heart goes to for comfort? The other day was a hard day. You know the first thing I did? I'm making another cup of coffee. It's an idol when it's that, when I'm trying to find comfort in it. Now, do I have the power to confess my idols and fix the problems? No. What I come to find is that I'm stuck in a pit of muck and mire. And it's going to require God to lift me out of that. But it takes honesty. It takes vulnerability. If I can be honest with the Lord and vulnerable with Him, if I can be honest with some of the people that God is putting in my heart to be honest and vulnerable with, then I can know that God is going to begin to reshape and rework these things. And to continue to ask Him, I can try as hard as I want to grieve or mourn. And it'll start to come up, but right when it gets here, just feel it choke right back down. It's not even intentional. It's just how I've done it my whole life. Just choke that down. Don't even have to try. It's going to take the Lord to do that and being honest. And maybe it's too. We have relationships. Maybe there's things that I'll just, okay, keep it on me here because the Lord said to keep it my journey. So there's areas in my life that it's like, I can just have a pride in that. It's like, no, this is good. It's all together. In reality, it's like, no, it's not. No, it's not. It's not. It's not good, and it's not okay. I'm not doing okay, but I never honestly invite anybody in to say, hey, I need help here. I don't. Can you pray with me? Can you help me? Am I going to get some people to stand with me? I'm going to let somebody put their arm around me and actually just comfort me for myself. If somebody puts their arm around me, you're just like, oh, thank you. Let me put my arm around you too. You know, like, let me give back to you because it's vulnerable. And I'll just share this story here of, this is not a new thing. The Lord's been trying to teach me this for a long time. Just have really hard headed heart sometimes, that it's like things just don't get in well. You don't get it. But remember the Lord, same issue of just longing for that connection with the Lord. And it was like I had this picture of Jesus wanting to give me a hug. And he asked, he's like, can I hug you? And I was just like, yeah, actually, well, hold on. I'll give you a hug, Jesus. I'll give you a hug. You know what that is? It's unwilling to just be loved and held. Instead, let me give something to you. Instead of just receiving what he wants to give to me. And you know, and that's something I do. That is a way that I live my life, not even realizing I do it. And I'm tired of it. I don't want to keep living in a way that I'm separated from the heart that God gave me, that I'm separated from being able to be grieved over things that are there. They shouldn't be that way. Because if I can't do that, I will not ever experience the joy of the beauty of the things that God has done and that is doing. You just ride this even slope that feels very stable, but in reality, it's lifeless. Because God gave us a heart to experience life. And because we live in a broken world, part of that experience is deep pain. It's hardships. It's things that are very painful. And if we are unable to begin to go with the Lord to grieve and get some other people around us to stand with us in that, we're not going to begin to, I think, step into the joys and really live from the heart that God gave us. And I'm tired of that. I want to live from the heart that Jesus gave me. And I recognize that to do that, I have to lock arms with the believers that he's placed around me. Namely, my wife. I can live right alongside her, but I'm not locked arms with her. Actually, to be honest, there's probably a huge gap between what we're actually doing. But it feels good because I'm doing all these spiritual things and I'm, oh, you know, it's like, well, this was good and I blessed that person. And, you know, I think God just sits back and he's just like, you just don't see it, do you? And it's like, well, I see it, but I don't really want to accept it. Or I see it and I'm going to work at really hard making it right. And it's not working. And I think the Lord's just trying to tell me, maybe he wants to tell you, let's just ask for help. Let's just be vulnerable. Let's take the mask off that we can do it ourselves. Let's just throw that pride thing down because we all so easily do it. And begin to ask the Lord, where's my heart? And how do I begin to lock arms with the people around me? How do I begin? Lord, how do we have a healthy body here? How do I have a healthy marriage? How am I going to have a healthy relationship with my kids? How am I even going to have a healthy relationship with myself when I treat my heart a certain way? I am, you know, it's like in my life, I've treated my heart very poorly. If I treated another person that way, I'd probably be arrested for the way I treat them. The way I used to respond to my heart when it began to express the pain and the hurt and the grief that was going on, I would turn to self-hatred and I would just hate myself because of how painful it was, and I'd start to cut myself. And it's like, that is an extreme response to pain. Some of us just ignore it. I'll work more. I'll just distance myself from those people, make some new friends over here. We all have different ways we do it. But I'm tired of doing that. I'm tired of avoiding my heart. I don't know how to handle it necessarily. I don't think any of us truly do. The women might know a little bit better than the guys, because there's a lie that has been told to men. You cannot be weak. You cannot show your weakness. And if you do, you want to know what? If you do get exposed for being weak, do you know the shame that you'll feel? Do you know how shameful it feels to be exposed as not having it all together? It's horrible. It's horrible. And that very thing, I think every man has experienced at some point in their life, and they spend the rest of their life avoiding ever getting back in that place again. I will spend all my days building walls of protection and doing everything I can to never, ever experience that again. And we have a whole culture of people that do not connect, that do not stand heart to heart in things. We have a church that could be extremely powerful for the Lord when they stand one heart, one mind. I think a lot of us can easily stand with a common mind on purposes, but how are we actually standing single-heartedly in a matter if we aren't even actually living out of our hearts? If we, I'm just asking, I don't know the answers to these, but I'm just posing this. It's, I believe we miss out on so much because God looks at the heart. Our relationship is based in the heart. All of them are. Todd, you even preached a message a couple weeks ago on crimes of passion. The extreme distance people will go when their heart is in something. Do you know, you could probably walk the Christian life quite well for a while, but if your heart is not fully in it, eventually you will crumble under it. You will not be able to stand against the opposition, against the fire of the enemy, the fire of the world, and the having to deal with your own flesh. Those enemies will wipe you out, and you will be done if it is not fully from your heart that you are for Jesus. And that's what I keep finding. It's like you can only go so far and you're just burned out. And I know it's because if my heart isn't fully in it, because I know there's been things in my life in the past that my heart was fully in, and boy, oh boy, the stupid things I would do, the distance you would go to do something, I mean, you'd wreck your own life just to get that thing your heart was in. I want that for Jesus. I want to be that way for Jesus. but then I need to be like Moses, who was willing to hang out in the desert with these people who just weren't seeing things the way God was seeing it. Until God had worked those things out, and together they could go into the promised land. One of that is, I think it's having to slow down. Maybe it's pulling back from some things in my life that I am gaining value from, so that I can actually begin to address the things that God wants to address in my life. To actually actively repent. I can repent saying, yes, I'm not going to do that anymore, but actively repent would be like, you know what? I have to step out of this. And I have to step out of this. And I'm going to have to turn, because this isn't going well, and this is my most high priority thing. So that's got to go right now. I don't want to let those things go because they give me value. But sometimes we have to. And so I don't know what the Lord is stirring in your hearts, what he's saying to you today. And that is a journey between you and him to direct. But I think one thing we can do is, if you can relate to this, if you understand that maybe there is some things that I've filled my life with and it's choking me out. I don't know how to get my heart out of that and into God completely. I don't know how to, and you know, we could say, maybe it's not your heart. There's an area in our lives that is just struggling. And no matter what we do, it can't seem to just get out of that spot. And so I just want to ask if whoever's willing to stand up, don't stand up yet, but to come up and to lock arms together, to say, you know what, we can't do this alone. We can't do it alone. I have to reach out to some people around me. I actually have to take off the mask and actually tell people I'm not okay. This area of my life is not okay. This isn't going well. That's scary. Nobody likes that. We've all been taught to make sure everybody knows you got it together. Nobody tells you that, but that is what's communicated. And it's what we watch everybody else do. And I experience such death in my life all the time, such distance from Jesus because of that very thing. Because God's given me people right around me who I know love me, who if I actually shared honestly, they would probably put their arm around me and they'd probably cry for me because I don't even know how. And you know what? It would be so healing. And we begin to see God actually begin to answer things we've prayed for so long, but we don't see the answer to, because I think God's just waiting for us to come around each other. And I know that for some of us in here, we do that better than others. There's some of us in here who are terrible at this, and there's some of us in here who kind of do it. And I don't know what it looks like for each one of us. But I do want to give an invitation that if you feel the Lord saying, hey, let's not isolate in any way. Let's begin to take off the mask and be honest. Let's lock arms together and say, you know what? As much as I know how, and God, you're going to have to help me every step of the way because on my own I won't be able to do it anyway, that we could lock arms and ask the Lord to bless us to become wholehearted and real with each other, honest and vulnerable. People who are fully alive, not just because Christ has come upon us, but because he's also opened up our hearts to express that, being fully alive. And so, yeah, this really wasn't what I wanted to talk about at all today. But it is the only thing that God's been doing in my life for the last year, so I had nothing else. This is it. So I just want to give that invitation. If you feel the Holy Spirit prompting you to lock arms, one, as a church body, but also maybe he's bringing to mind some people that you need to, when you leave here, is to actually go to and say, hey, I need you to come around me and help me. You know, Moses had Aaron and Hur hold his hands up. Didn't make Moses any weaker. He just couldn't hold his hands up all day long. Why do we think we can walk the Christian life all day long? Day after day after day, and not let anybody come around and hold up our hands. also. So I'm going to pray, and then after that, if anybody wants to come forward, maybe we'll just make a circle for whoever wants to, and we'll just ask the Lord to really bless us in being able to truly lock arms and to truly open our hearts to each other and to truly walk wholeheartedly with each other and with God. And so, Father, I just thank you so much for your love for us. And I think all of us at different levels have experienced your love in some ways. But Lord, my heart and desire is for the mask to come off, all of us, so that there is no more hindrance to your love coming into our hearts and lives, penetrating to the core, letting other people in so we truly understand we are connected in one. And Lord, I know that you probably are so grieved when you watch the enemy overrun us day after day because we aren't standing together. We aren't truly in one heart and one mind. And Lord, honestly, I don't think any of us could do it on our own. And so we ask right now for your help. We ask that, Lord, you'd show us how to do this and you'd stir in our hearts the ability day after day to keep doing this because it's hard to keep our hearts open sometimes. So I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
To come forward and lead us in song, and if you would like to take a stand and come forward and